This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck, if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew and Mike Brandt on 7-5 Radio. Check us out, 7-5radio.org. The number 7-5radio.org. First off, we want to say hello to all of our special listeners, starting with Little Billy Keebler in the men and alleged women of the Onondaga's New York Fire Department, also known as the Solo Savers. Also, a special shout out to New York's finest, New York's bravest, New York's boldest. All of our listeners listening on Long Island, especially the 2nd Congressional District, and all those affected by Hurricane Helene. Walter, how are we doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well, my friend.
Outstanding. Mike, how are we doing tonight?
Doing great. Thanks, brother.
Outstanding. First order of business, we want to remember the men and women of law enforcement who are murdered in the line of duty. Fortunately, tonight, on October the 5th, we have no names to read off. And unfortunately, last week we could not broadcast because of the hurricane. So our first story tonight is going to be the aftermath of this hurricane. Let's start off with the money that the U.S. Sends for aid to people. U.S. aid to Ukraine. So far, we're at $61 billion and counting. U.S. aid to Israel in 2024 alone, $8.7 billion. U.S. aid to illegal aliens, $1.4 billion. U.S. aid to Ethiopia, $2 billion. U.S. funding to laboratories in Wuhan, China, $2 million. And U.S. FEMA payments to Hurricane Helene victims, $4 million. Now, the current U.S. FEMA funds for the remainder of the 2024 hurricane season, according to Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, it's not enough. Folks, this is the exact same government that told active duty members of the military to file for food stamps because of inflation, their base pay and food allowance won't cover the cost of feeding the families. So far, we learned, especially tonight on the Political Cesspool, folks, after you hear us, listen to the archives to the Political Cesspool. James Edwards did an outstanding job of bringing on people of what's really going on down in the South. First of all, there's no FEMA anywhere. Second of all, the U.S. military have been deployed. Let me say that again. The U.S. military has been deployed, but they've been deployed overseas. They're going to Kuwait. They're going to Poland. They're going somewhere else. Nobody's going to the southeastern United States. And then the media. Remember 19 years ago with Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans? It was all Katrina all the time. Today we get Israel. Donald Trump's bad. Kamala Harris is good. Over and over and over again. Before tonight's broadcast, while I was listening to the Political Cesspool, I was watching Fox News, and they're talking about Israel. I mean, is Israel the 51st state or what? Anyways, Mike, I want to bring it to you first, and then Walter, he has a personal story about disaster relief. Mike, what say you about this mess?
It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. You have people dying. You know, I said it on social media, and I'll repeat it here. Every bureaucrat and politician who had any part to play in this lack of response from FEMA and his money being squandered and in actually threatening to arrest people who were trying to get in there and actually help, should be charged with manslaughter for every death that happens. They really should be charged with manslaughter because it's absolutely sick. It's sick. They're not only not doing anything, but they're blocking those who are literally trying to get in there and help people. To me, this is the worst possible path you could take in something like this. And you know, you have Kamala Harris posting on social media about what's going on in Lebanon with Israel. Who gives a shit? There's people dying in the Southeast right now because of your failure to respond. This is sick. I mean, they blasted Bush for Katrina, but yet nothing on this, you know, regime's, you know, ineptitude and bumbling attempt to try and do nothing. It's disgusting. It's absolutely sick.
Right. And another thing, you had Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg come out and say, well, no private drones over the affected areas. But fortunately for the American people, the American public, he had to withdraw that kind of annotation or that rule or whatever. He just pulled out of his very open backside. Well, what say you about this disaster of a disaster relief in the Southeast United States?
Well, you know, according to our commander in chief, they're getting what they need and everybody's happy across the board. So, you know, we just have, you know, some more BS that comes out of the White House. So, you know, it's unbelievable what the, you know, what politicians will say. I mean, you know, geez, there's a camera on every street corner. You know, how can you say that something's not what it is and stand by it? But, you know, as you said earlier, you know, just a few minutes ago, I have a personal story in a flood. I was living in a small town called Arcade, New York, just about 100 miles south of Buffalo in the late 90s. In the summer of 98, it started to rain. Okay, you could hear it was heavy rain, nothing new. It was heavy rain. I was coming down. I woke up in the morning, and there was 8 inches of water on Main Street going down. It was garbage day, and all the orange bags were floating down the street. So I woke up my then wife and said, "Hey, you know, we might have a problem. I'm going to go across the street to the deli and see what's going on, see if they heard anything, because we lost power." So I go across the street to the deli, and they were in there. They were sitting up on the counter because there's 6 inches of water in the deli. So, you know, they said, "Well, we can't sell anything." And I said, "Well, I need some milk and orange juice." So I left $5 on and I went back across the street to my – now, we lived on the second floor of a private house. Within 3 hours, when I look out the second floor window, I could see the top of my van. That was it. That was it. There was 7 feet of water going down Main Street. Okay. There weren't any whistles. When there was only 6 inches of water, there wasn't any police notifications, you know, riding down the street with announcements. The fire department didn't do anything. What they were doing, I found out, was they were trying to sandbag the fire department and the police department because they were on the low end of town, where the creek was overflowing. They were trying to save their own asses before letting us know what was going on. Well, apparently what happened was the National Weather Service contacted the county I was living in, which is Wyoming County in New York, and they informed the local authorities that said, "Hey, you got 12 inches of rain coming tonight. You know, be prepared." And that was at 1 a.m., okay? And nothing, not a peep, okay? Now, you know, we're stuck. We can't go nowhere. Well, earlier that morning, a friend of mine came over, you know, to see if we were all right. And he couldn't leave because the water went up to 4 feet by the time he wanted to leave. It was already flooding the first floor. So me, my wife, and him, we got out on top of the porch roof, and we were sitting up there at, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, drinking wine and beer, and left the orange juice on the table. If I was going to die, I wanted to go with a beer in my hand, and nothing, absolutely nothing. It was horrible. When the water finally started to go down at 4 in the afternoon, a payloader came and picked us up in a bucket and brought us to, you know, drier, higher land, which was only like a block away. And we sat there for 3 hours. Nobody told us nothing. And then somebody came by and said, everybody's going to the firehouse. So we went to the firehouse, and the news was at the firehouse. And, man, all they wanted to do was hear our grief. And I told them they got to get the F away from me. It
okay.
Was horrible.
All right. We'll come back. We'll get Walter's opinion of government assistance during a disaster. Also, we got Elmer Fudd and a party of losers in unions. Do they suck or not? We'll be right back, everybody.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting done staring at Tanilla's Instagram account. Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop standing with Walter Yerke and Mike Rinkbrandt talking about the disaster that is the disaster relief for the people of Southeast U.S., victims of Hurricane Helene. Go ahead, rest your story. You went to the firehouse, the media's there.
Yeah,
you want to get your sob story.
Yeah, went to the firehouse. Yeah, we went to the firehouse, and the news was there. And all they wanted to do was, what was going through your mind? You know, did you have a recollection of when it happened and when it started? And, you know me, number one, I don't like the news people, especially when they come and, you're hurting, you know, because we had no place to go. We couldn't go back to the house. The local police department said, if you go back to your residence, you're going to be arrested and all that ridiculousness, which is, you know, uncalled for. But that's what you get. Now, I'm not saying every government entity would be a failure in such a situation as this or as what's going on with our entire government in the White House on the East Coast and the Southeast. But a few days later, FEMA was there. Not FEMA. The Red Cross was there. FEMA never showed up. We had to listen to some bureaucrat from Albany talk about, you know, what your losses were. Thankfully, we didn't lose nothing but our vehicles, okay? Well, we were on the second floor. But you had people living on the first floor. You had people with houses, stuff in their basements. We had small businesses. There were bars, auto parts stores, movie theater, drugstore, you know, you name it, the deli across the street. You know, they lost everything. Had they been warned when the National Weather Service called and said, you know, you're about to get 12 inches of rain at 1 a.m., had they been warned, you know how fast people can move when they got to get out of an apartment or a house. You know, they just find pickup trucks and they start loading up and they get everything the hell out of there. Everybody, all those people, they lost everything. So you got this knucklehead from Albany saying that they're going to give them long-term, low-interest loans. Most everybody got up and walked out. It was horrible. It was horrible. By the time we moved, that was in June of 98. By the time I moved to Tennessee in October, the businesses were up and running without help from the local people. And, you know, asked, you know, a couple of the cops, because I worked I had to go to the courthouse almost every day when I worked with the domestic violence program as a counselor. And I seen, you know, one of the cops says, you know, why didn't they warn anybody? And one cop says, listen, he didn't get a phone call till 4 a.m. Whoever got that call at 1 o'clock never told anybody. Apparently, he just rolled over and went back to sleep. And at 4 a.m., when they woke up, they was trying to save the police station. I said, what's up with that? I said, what about the rest of the people that were in there? Man, nobody had anything to say as far as local authorities. So, you know, I feel for those people feeling neglected. I mean, like I said, I didn't lose much, but I helped all my neighbors, you know, squeegeeing out 4 inches of mud out of their, you know, first floor houses and stuff. It was just horrible. You know, there were dogs. You know, people go to work and some people keep their dogs in the crate during the day. We had dogs that died, that drowned. It was just horrible, horrible. And we didn't get any warning at all. We all woke up to it. You know, it wasn't like it came in 10 minutes like a hurricane roars in, or not a hurricane, a tornado roars in. It was just horrible. It was absolutely no communication whatsoever, just like what's going on now. Finally, we see, you know, Walmart trucks are going down. Thank goodness for Walmart. Got Dolly Parton out there matching, you know, millions of dollars with Walmart and Costco and Sam's Club that are sending supplies to all the hard-hit areas. And there are still people that are isolated because all the roads are washed out. They had mule packs. Did you see the mule packs bringing ice and food to people, you know, across the bridge? Because everything is washed out. Those are the people that are heroes, okay? Now, I'm sure local authorities, the police, you know, the fire departments, they tried to do what they could do. But without help or preparation or money from our government, it just looks like that those areas are going to be, you know, lost. You know, and then you want to think of Maui. And you've seen or heard that, you know, you got Oprah buying up land over there in Maui where everything went on fire. You watch over here on the coasts where everything is destroyed, where people don't start cashing in. Chinese might be buying it up, probably.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Mike, real quick. The U.S. government has been dispensing debit cards for $750. Would that help a family of four?
That is the most disgusting thing. So Mayorkas is DHS, right? They spent all their FEMA money on the illegals, on giving illegals, you know, these $3,500 a month payments and free rent and free apartments and free housing and free everything. Meanwhile, you have American taxpayers who are dying, you know, quite literally dying and completely destroyed, and they get a $750 debit card. That is the most disgusting slap in the face. That is unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me. I can't. They're just disgusting. They're absolutely disgusting. It's criminal. They really should be charged with manslaughter and fraud and every damn crime under the sun. They're disgusting.
Right. But, guys, here's something to think about. They got a debit card for $750, but where are they going to use it? They go to the store that doesn't have power. They don't have any internet. The telephone lines are down. How are they going to use the car? Are they going to swipe it like they did back in the 70s, like our fathers used to get gasoline? I mean, think about it. Anyways, I'm watching Fox News, and the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews have a commercial to help Jews outside the U.S. Way to go, Fox, for broadcasting a commercial like this. You know, help people who don't live here. And meanwhile, the hell with the people of the U.S. Anybody have anything else before we move on to our next subject? Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm already fired up. Go once.
I'm good. Let's move. I'm good. Let's move.
All right. A little lighter news. Early this week was a vice presidential debate, the one and only vice presidential debate. And it was a absolute shellacking of J.D. Vance with Governor Tim Walz. I'm going to start calling Governor Walz Elmer Fudd instead of Tampon Tim, because he was just up there looking like just Elmer Fudd. And some points Vance made, you see Governor Walz just nodded his head in agreement. He's like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. But the whole debate, he looked absolutely confused. He had the deer in the headlight look, and was just unprepared. Meanwhile, the media said, well, he was overprepared. He didn't have a chance to get out his prepared statement or whatever. I mean, shut the front door. So at first I was like kind of reluctant. I was like, why would Trump pick J.D. Vance? I mean, he probably could have picked somebody else as his running mate. But watching this debate, I can see, oh, that's why he got him on the ticket. Walt, what say you about this debate between J.D. Vance and Elmer Fudd?
Oh, I think it was a complete shutout. Like Kamala, the guy couldn't even answer the first question and didn't answer the first question. You know, like you and I, we talked about, the guy had – Walz had an itinerary. He had statements memorized. Okay. You know, it's like, you know, you got a cheat sheet when you're taking a test, you know, you know what the questions are going to be. All right. And you write the answers down, you know, like on your arm or your hand or something, but then they mix up the questions and it doesn't correspond with the answers that you got in your order. And you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You answer everything wrong. And that's what he did. Living in the country in the mountains like I do, I see deer on the road all the time, you know, and, you know, in the headlights at night. And that's what this guy had the whole night. He was scared to death. He was trying to look like he was shocked or surprised at what Vance was saying and how he was responding, or dismayed that Vance isn't saying the correct thing and he's trying to do these facial body language with his face. And it just – the guy was just – he was so outclassed, you know, it was embarrassing. It had to be embarrassing. Had to be embarrassing. But Mr. Vance, he held his own. He had – you know, he didn't have heavy eyeliner on this time. But – he did very well. He did so well that he shut the moderators down tried to fact check him about, you know, Haitian citizenship status up there in Springfield. And boy, did he give it to her. And then they cut his mic off, you know, after he got his point across. So it was a shutout.
Right. Mike, what say you about the debate?
Well, spot on. Vance was polished. He was professional. He was calm and reasonable. He was respectful. He humanized everybody. He kept using their first names and humanizing himself, so they couldn't really go at it the way they wanted to. When they tried to fact check him, he came back with calm, clear, deliberate answers and exposed the complete nonsense they were saying. And Walz just looked like a hot mess. I mean, he was nervous. He was, you know, fumbling over his words. He wouldn't answer a question directly. His body language was awful. You know, it was a complete shellacking. You're absolutely right.
Well, and he called himself a knucklehead. He calls himself
a
knucklehead.
Yeah.
Is that what you? Is
he
that
owned
what
himself.
We want? He says, well, sometimes I'm a knucklehead. You know, I don't want him to, you know, become president and have his finger on a button when he's a knucklehead.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them. you know, feel better for a few hours only to have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. How? Well, its unique formula of ingredients helps support your body's response to inflammation. Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free. And for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. So give it a try. Right now, their three-week quick start is just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number for relief. See how in a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. When you feel better, life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
Residents in a number of communities in North Carolina still trying to get back with just the basics, and for some, they don't even have that. Correspondent Ed Donahue reports on the struggle for Helene victims to get by without running water.
One woman in Asheville, North Carolina, says she would love to take a shower. Travis Edwards carried home several jugs and plastic bags of water from a stainless steel tanker truck in downtown Asheville.
Wash dishes with it, or wash our hands, wash our face and our bodies, and then collect all of that into a bucket as gray water.
That water is then used to flush the toilets.
It's very interesting, kind of going back to having nothing available and then trying to figure out how to be resourceful with what you had to, I guess, survive.
Even water that's unfit to drink is scarce in Asheville. Repairs to the water system could take weeks. I'm Ed Donahue.
Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Two senators calling on the Justice Department to take tougher action against Boeing for safety issues they say impacted its aircraft.
In a letter, Democratic Senators Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts and Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut urged the department to, quote, hold criminally accountable executives who disregarded passenger safety in violation of federal law. The senator's letter comes ahead of a federal hearing next week over Boeing's agreement to plead guilty to conspiracy in connection with its 737 MAX. Two of those planes crashed, killing a combined total of 346 people.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Well, it was a game that left a lot of people today scratching their heads saying, what happened? What happened is Vanderbilt has stunned number one ranked Alabama. Final net ball game was 40-35. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Attention collectors and savvy investors. We are excited to announce a momentous evolution in our journey. Introducing Free Water Coin Company, formerly known as Rust Coin and Gift. This rebranding takes us back to the very roots of where it all began, Free Water, Oregon. It's a tribute to the legacy of Al Rust and a celebration of three generations of dedication and excellence in the world of coins and precious gifts. Al, Brian, and Jake Rust, standing strong through 64 years of service. Discover a world of exceptional service at Free Water Coin Company, your premier destination for genuine, honest money and precious gifts. Under Brian's expert guidance, Free Water Coin Company, building on the legacy of Rust Coin and Gift, continues its tradition of trust and excellence. Visit us at our Provo, Utah location. Explore our treasures online at rustgoldandsilver.com or call us at 801-377-1574. Free Water Coin Company, where your future is built one honest coin at a time.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Peter Scoop staying with Walter Yerkew and Mike Raybrandt. We went from the vice presidential debate where J.D. Vance actually eviscerated Governor Tim Walz. Next, I want to talk about how the Republican Party is nothing but a bunch of losers. The Republicans complain all day about the Democrats. The Democrats win elections time and time and time again. The last Republican chairwoman, Ronna McDaniel, did a great job. The Republicans lost in 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. And yours truly left the GOP in 2007 when John McCain called for amnesty for illegal aliens. And look how great it worked. Anyways, also you have victims of the GOP gangsters, including our own Mike Raybrandt, Shannon Stevens, and even Andrew Giuliani. The Republican Party would rather go after their own people than the people destroying the country. Now, this is a presidential year. I happen to live in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Joe Biden allegedly won Virginia by 451,000 votes 4 years ago. 3 years ago, Virginia elected a Republican governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general because the candidate for governor, Glenn Youngkin, voices opinion that parents have a right to decide how to teach their children. But this year, we have one-third of all Senate candidates, including the senator in one of the senators from Virginia, Tim Kaine, running for office again, and all the House seats are up for grabs. And so far, I haven't seen any commercials from Tim Kaine's opponent, Republican Hung Cao, who's a 25-year veteran of the U.S. Navy. He's also a refugee from Vietnam, and he's also an engineer and a physicist. In his culture, he's known as a slacker, but anyways, that's a stolen joke. So we have no commercials for the Senate race in Virginia. We have no commercials and very few signs for the House race in my district. The guy who represents me is just a total goofball. He's got big bug eyes and has done absolutely nothing but go along with the Biden-Obama administration and hate Trump. But God forbid, you know, fix the traffic or fix the problems here in Northern Virginia. So anyways, keep doing what you're doing, GOP. Even though today Trump was at Butler, Pennsylvania, Elon Musk came flying out. It was a great day. I'm not holding my breath about this election coming up because I have very bad feeling what's going on. Mike, what say you about the Republicans keep losing year after year?
It's you have an establishment class within the Republican Party that's part of the Uniparty, right? It's about graft. It's about getting their people in so they can keep on doing the same things they've been doing for years, which is just basically stealing tax dollars through NGOs, through contracts, through all the nonsense they get into. That's all it is they don't want anybody breaking up their little cabal so that they can keep on stealing from everybody else. So when you have a candidate who comes in who's actually going to be a reformer, who's somebody who's actually going to go in and make those kinds of changes that actually make sense, they can't have that. So they use lawfare against you. They sue you. They try and smear you. They do everything possible to try and get you out of that race. They just did it to Shannon Stevens. He said just here in New York too, right? They sued her off the ballot. And it was completely erroneous decisions by the courts. But this is what they do. I'm hoping that with Lara Trump and everybody in charge of the RNC now, we'll see kind of that change kind of filtered down to the local parties and actually things start to move in the direction they should be moving in. But, you know, I'm not hopeful right now because, again, it's local parties and they try to control everything. So,
But why would they try to control everything? I mean, it's Shannon was running in a primary against that loser for the second district. Why would they control everything? But why wouldn't they have an open primary? What are they trying to impersonate Democrats?
Pretty much. It's Uniparty. It's about the graft. It's about the stealing, about the money. It all comes back to the money. The money is being filtered down through, you know, these different parties and these different people that are tied to the parties. You know, the jobs, people in the towns, their jobs are tied to the party.
people, you know, who have their businesses tied to the party, and they all make money based upon having their particular candidate in there. So the party bosses make sure those candidates stay in and nobody else challenges them.
So what? So
it's all
what,
about like, the money.
So what? So say I'm a congressman from my district in the GOP. Well, I got to kick money up to the bosses like organized crime?
Pretty much. That's what it is. They're there to steer the money and steer the contracts and things like that, to do what the donors want, or to, you know, to do things that benefit everybody else. I mean, if you look at it closely, it's amazing how much money moves through these parties and stuff, how much money comes from overseas and moves through these parties. It'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind how much money, billions of dollars moving through, and it's all being filtered through these parties, through different NGOs, through lobbying groups, through all kinds of different things, but it's all graft. It's just graft. That's all it is. It's all corruption.
How is this even legal?
It's not. It's not at all. But when they control, you know, you have the uniparties for both parties, and when they control the judicial, you know, seats, they have the judgeships, they have all those things, you know, it makes it very easy to get away with it because nobody's going to, you know, rock the boat, or if you do, you're just going to get beat up by the system and no one's going to do anything about it.
So say... So say I'm I run against my congressman as a Republican and I lose. Would the Republican Party be upset, or just part of the system? Just like, all right, this crew will take the seat for a couple more years. Meanwhile, we'll sit it out. Then we'll take over.
They'll force you out. They'll force you out. They'll threaten you. They'll do anything possible to keep you away from that seat. They'll do everything and anything possible. They'll sue you. They'll go to any lengths to keep you off that ballot. Shannon just went through it. I went through it in 22. You know, I actually had some dummy from the party out here who thought it'd be a good idea to call me at the start of my campaign and actually physically threaten me. And I laughed at him. I said, tell you what, whoever you send, put a tag on him where you want me to send the body parts back to. And maybe you should Google me before you try and bring some crap like that to me. You know, these are not bright people. They really do think that they operate almost like the mafia. They really truly believe their own nonsense. You know, they're ridiculous people, but this is what they do. They use people's secrets or whatever, their dark whatever stuff, to kind of control the candidates, and they decide what they want, and it's between them and the donors and all the people stealing. You know, it's the level of corruption is unbelievable. I mean, if people really knew what it really was, this would be a far different conversation. But they're going to do everything possible to keep any kind of, you know, real candidate off the ballot. And then they don't devote any money to races because they predetermine who they're going to support and who they're not going to support, because they work those deals out behind the scenes. You know, in New York State, that's done between Republicans and Democrats through Al D'Amato's lobbying group in the city. They actually decide who's going to challenge who and what's going to, you know, this is the kind of games they play.
Jesus Christ. Well, what's the deal about this mess? I mean, just...
Well, I'm going to speak again from personal experience, and I'm going to speak quite frankly. During my time as a New York City police officer, as the years went by, I didn't evolve into the best cop that I could have been. Okay. I developed into something that I thought I never would have. With that being said, it was acceptable. It was acceptable within the ranks. People didn't say anything. People didn't do anything. You know who was on board. You know who wasn't on board. If they weren't on board, they didn't make waves. Okay? Jump 15 years into the future. Well, 10 years into the future. Well, 15 years into the future. I'm back on the street. I'm back in the workforce, and I made sure I did everything correctly, okay? Made sure I didn't make big deals out of little stuff that went by. But when I saw deliberate things being done that were absolutely wrong, I took a stand. And with that stand, within 2 years, I was ostracized. And then I was fired because I took a stand. Okay, now my story is out there. I can't say a lot about it because I brought a case against this entity. and I can't give the outcome. But all I can say is that I'm very happy now that I did what I did. I stood by my guns, and I got the right people behind me to believe in me. Right, now you look at Washington. What Mike just said is what millions of Americans go through all the time. They let things go, and then when they stop letting things go, they get ostracized. And that's what's happening to Mr. Trump. He's being ostracized over and over.
All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about the longshoreman strike. Stay tuned, everybody.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. Walter Yurkow. Walter Kiwi. Here's Walt and Scoop.
All right, we are back. Before we get to our final story, please check our website, 75radio.org. The number 75radio.org. Mikey Guerin's having a fundraiser to stay out of jail again. Called the sheriff of his local county to keep him in jail, but that was a no-go. Also, the importance of my family, and subscribe to all of us. Anyways, final story, unions, are they a thing of the past? In the TV show The Wire on HBO, which premiered 2 decades ago, there's a scene, the second season took place at the Port of Baltimore. In one scene, they had a video of members of the Port Authority watching a video on Rotterdam port at the time, and it still is the busiest port there is, and everything is automated. And the members of the union, the longshoremen, were sitting at this meeting on this TV show and said, "Oh, geez, automation, that's going to be the end. That's going to be the end of us." 2 decades later, not only is there no automation at the Port of Baltimore or anywhere else, but the International Longshoremen Association went on strike for a 70% pay raise, and they still are against automation. You literally can't make this up. If you go on our website, you see the clip, and these guys, these fictional characters, were bitching about automation and the end of their jobs. And now, 2 decades later, it's like, you know, fiction comes to life. And it just, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then the International Longshoremen Association, Harold Daggett, is a character we would see on The Sopranos, The Wire. But we'll talk about him later. But he is the ILA president. He has a earns a salary of almost $1 million per year. Daggett also complained that Easy Pass took away union jobs from toll booth clerks, and self-checkout lines at the supermarket took away United Food commercial worker jobs. Yet this idiot drives a Bentley. Bentleys are made in the United Kingdom, not by American auto workers. A couple questions for this chowderhead. Should we get rid of garage door openers for his five-car garage in New Jersey? Should we get rid of smartphones as we don't have any more telephone operators? Those Communication Worker Association jobs went away. Should we get rid of forklifts as they do the work of probably about 10 or 20 union people? And get rid of power tools? And all this new technology is coming in on containers coming to his ports. And why the hell would they endorse Joe Biden for president 2020? Jesus Christ. But anyways, Walt, are unions still, are they still relevant for today?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, unions are pretty much, you know, in my opinion, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You know, nobody cares about what the longshore union is making there on the docks, you know, all the way around the United States, East Coast, West Coast, South Coast. You know, nobody cares until something like this happens. Okay. Nobody cares about the supply chain until, you know, Biden and Kamala came into the White House. You know, of course, we didn't. They said we didn't understand the supply chain the way it worked. Well, we never had to before, okay? Because there was never a problem until they came in the White House. So here we are. You know, earlier this week, the guys went out there. You know, the union went on strike, and relatively, it shut down, you know, the entire United States, you know, from overseas products. Which in turn sends everybody into a panic, and they stop buying toilet paper and paper goods and canned goods, you know. But they don't understand that, you know, that stuff is made here in the States. You know, we'll never run out of that. There's always going to be truck drivers. So, you know, you got people, you know, bringing toilet paper back to Walmart now because they bought so much. Anyway, are unions still relevant? Yeah, to a certain point, but not the way they needed to be, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. I don't think you need to have a representative that makes well over $1 million a year, lives in a $4 million mansion, and drives, like you said, Bentleys and stuff like that. I don't think you need that, okay? Same thing with politicians. You know, we don't need politicians making high six figures either, or seven figures. We don't need that. We need people that were really grew up in the middle class neighborhood. That's what we need up there. And until that happens, it's going to be an entire mess. 63% over the next 5 or 6 years, tentative agreement. Well, we'll see how long that tentative agreement lasts. I have a strong feeling that if Kamala pulls this off, which I highly doubt, I'm calling for a landslide. But if she pulls this off, you could see a strike on November 6th.
Wow. Mike, what say you? Are unions still relevant?
Yeah, I think they're still relevant. They have their place in things. It keeps a balance. You know, you don't want to see people being exploited by the workplace. I mean, that's definitely not a good thing. So I think they have their place in things. I think that to some degree, though, they've gotten out of control, you know, in certain arenas. I mean, if you look at the education union, things like that, teachers unions, you can kind of see where it's overstepping or overbound, you know, pushing boundaries they shouldn't be pushing, or just honestly working against what they're supposed to be doing originally. So there's definitely a conversation needs to be had to kind of help them evolve and find a more structured or better structured path forward than what they've on right now. You know, this guy from the
longshoreman union. This guy's making extremely large amounts of money and complaining about what his guys are making. That's kind of, you know, tone deaf, to be honest with you. You know, you got a yacht, you're living in this mansion, and you're acting like you're, you know, you're somehow poverty stricken. I don't disagree. The guys, the longshoremen actually working on the ships and stuff probably do deserve some more money. But that being said, you know, everybody in the country's hurting right now, and you're going to bankrupt the country by shutting it down like that, to make your point. That's kind of an excessive thing to do. You know, I get the point of it. I understand why it was done, and I don't disagree necessarily. I just think maybe timing, you know, might have been a bit better. But I do think unions are relevant, though. I think they have their place in things. It kind of keeps a balance.
All right, because the reason I ask is that I belong to a labor union. I mean, they gave up the pensions. They agreed to give up retirement from give up medical coverage for retirees. So when we're all crippled, that's when we really need it. And it seems like all they do is protect the jobs of the people who should be fired. But God forbid, if you are an efficient employee and then want to file a claim of harassment or discrimination based on skin color, but that's you know, that's where we're at today. But anyways, I want to talk about this International Longshoremen Association president, Harold Daggett. I was watching him on camera talking about he's going to cripple the economy, whatever. And I said, this guy is a Walter Yerkew wannabe. Both men have tattoos. Both men are follicly challenged. Both men wear jewelry. And both men talk tough. But here's the major difference. Walter doesn't walk around as a mature gentleman wearing a Mr. T starter set. Yeah, I have a couple of bracelets and a watch, but that's about it. And if you look at pictures of real gangsters and even the ones on TV and the movies, these guys don't walk around all blinged out. Another difference is that Daggett walks around and wants to tell everyone who he is. He's a big shot and what he'll do to you. Walter doesn't do that. He goes about his business incognito. He keeps to himself. He doesn't go around telling people he's Walter Yerkew. I go around telling people I do know Walter Yerkew. And unfortunately, I know Mike Rakebrand, but that's a different story. But anyways, Walter will only break your neck if your neck needs breaking. So, Harold Daggett, you want to be Walter Yerkew. You're not Walter Yerkew. And anyways, we have the real Walter Yerkew. Mike, what do you think about this Walter Yerkew wannabe?
I think the guy's a phony, and I think union members need to pay more attention to who's in their leadership, the same way we do with our politicians. And as for Walt, listen, there's only one Walter Yerkew, and he's a legitimate tough guy, like a legitimate tough guy. And there's not many in the world anymore, but he's a legitimate one. And this clown at the Longshoremen Union is nothing like Walter. He's nothing. He'll never even come close. He couldn't fill the shoes if he tried. You know, there's nobody like Walt. Walter's a legitimate tough guy. This guy's a clown.
Right. And one thing I noticed, like, dealing with the other tough guys in my various lines of work, is that the toughest ones are the ones that are quiet.
So,
like Mike, I'd hate to be in a room with you when you're angry. Anyways, that's all we got. And also, by the way, check out Danelle's Instagram account. That's danelle.fitnessmodel on Instagram. For Walter Yerkew and Mike Rakebrand, this is Peter Scoop standing to remind you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week, everybody.
For 7-5 Radio, for those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.